You know, I like to kill two birds with one stone. Sometimes I like to kill three birds with one stone if I have an opportunity. It's kind of rare, but as I'm driving, I like to do a message. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about, but I got enough time to talk about something. So I might put it on pause. But if it flows, it flows, you know. It's unlimited content. I'm looking over here to the right, and there's a McDonald's. McDonald's, the letter M, way above the tree line. And if you turn it to the side, it's 13, right? 1313, Mockingbird Lane. The Golden Arches. How do they stay in business? How do they stay in business? Have you ever noticed they're the only company out there that never goes out of business? It's like something's up. But why is their ice machine always, their ice cream machine always broke? What's that about? Some of these companies, they have some agreements that you'll never know about, and it keeps them afloat. They keep afloat. And the more you really dig deep into this thing, you realize that there's something else going on. There's a guy doing videos about going to the mall and saying this mall should be closed. There's not enough foot traffic to make a living in this mall. In other words, if you started a shop at the mall as much as the rent is, you'd have to have continuous people come in just to pay the rent, because you got to pay the employees, you know. So there's something else going on behind the scenes. And the more I think about it, a lot of them are just shell companies, and then a lot of them might be only surviving because they get the insurance from taking insurance out on their employees. They have a key employee they take insurance out on. They get $10 million. They hire somebody else. That one dies, they get another $10 million. Or whatever, however much they can take. I don't know how much they can do that. But if it's a key employee in a business, they can take insurance out on you. For real. There's something else going on behind the scenes. I don't know what it is, but it's more than just insurance. It's more of a military thing, I think. If you really think about it, you get all these nations fighting each other. And if there's certain kinds of stores, whether it's Walmart, McDonald's, in every city, you don't think the military ain't gonna be a part of that? If you really were to open up the curtains and see what's really going on, you're going to find some military. That's a fact. That is a fact. I'm on the highway, so I've got some traffic. I'm kind of not talking as smooth as I usually do because... traffic. But corporations taking insurance out on key people. Military. Debt money system, fake money system. They can tell you they're going to get out of debt all they want, but they don't want to get out of debt. Because they want to tax the common man. They want a bunch of slaves. It's no different than Egypt and the Israelites. The Pharaoh created a fake reality. Everybody's in this little smart city. Everybody thinks that they can only survive based on the Pharaoh. They could have went out in the woods and survived without the Pharaoh. But God pulled them out and taught them how to survive and how to fight and everything else. God Almighty taught them how to fight and how to survive and how to have the priesthood and the priest class. If you really study the priest class, you're going to find out that if you study the priest class, you're going to find out that God answers prayer of the saints. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints, right? He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And your kings and priests and intercessors for other people. And the unsaved know this, especially the esoteric people. They know when you pray, God hears you. They want to be on your good side, so they're going to pretend to be saved and not saved. There is a realm that is very rare to see. And you think your 3D experience is all there is? Go to work, go home, go to work, go home. Go to work, go home. Oil change, food, eat, sleep, shower. You think that's the only realm that there is? There's another realm. And if you ever see that other realm, you can't unsee it, and you can't go back. You might rub shoulders with people who can't see it, but still, it's a process to wake up to see what's really happening in this reality. And it's such a mind transformation that it's beyond words. I don't even know if there's even words to explain it. And so, the only way I can explain it is to give you a few examples. You know, going through school and the news and the media and just the average day-to-day activity, you look at time as linear, as from point A to point B, right? A to Z. But the more you meditate on it, time is not linear, it's a cycle. It just goes around and around and around. Every day it just resets, every day. So when you move your mindset from linear time to cyclic time, cycles, it's a paradigm shift. Another example of a paradigm shift is you're looking at the clock. Oh, it's 1 o'clock. Now it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. No. Take the hands on the clock And as they move one click, instead of looking at 1 o'clock, it's 1:01, 1:02, 2 o'clock, 2:10, 2:20, 2:30, 3, 3:30. Instead of looking at it like that, just look at the clock. When those hands move, every time the second hand, the minute hand, the hour hand moves, look at that movement as now. That clock, it moved 1 second. You're in the now. It moved another second. You're in the now. It moved another second. You're in the now. Moved 1 minute. You're in the now. Moved an hour. You're in the now. Doesn't matter what hour it is. You're still in the now. Doesn't matter what minute it is. You're still in the now. Doesn't matter what second it is. You're still in the now. You're always in the now. You're not outside the now. You're listening to me right now. And so a few seconds ago I said something, but now you're listening to me now. And a few seconds ago I said you're listening to me now, but you're actually listening to me not then, but right now. So each time you hear me, it's in the now. It's not in the past. You're not listening to me in the past. You're not listening to me in the future. You're listening to me right now. So why would you want to live in the past or the future instead of living in the now? Because you're going to change your life. If you can listen to a person in the now, or be in the now, or stand in the now, whatever problem hits you in the now, you face off with it in the now. You can plan for the future. You can try to plan for the future, but until it happens, it's not in the now. You might set it up to where it's going to happen, but until it happens, it's not in the now. You're not experiencing it until it happens. Now you can quantum leap. You could quantum jump and think about it in the future, about being there. You can picture in your mind. You can do a picture in your mind that something in the future is happening now. Let's say you jumped in the future and you say, okay, I'm experiencing this in the now. And most likely it's going to happen. Because if you can think it or imagine it, God allowed you to think it. If that's a desire in your heart, He's going to give it to you unless it's against His will. So let's say I'm hungry, okay? I'm going to go to this restaurant that I usually go to because I'm hungry. And I set my affections or my imagination on it, sitting down at that counter, eating that meal. Most likely it's going to appear. There's situations where you might say, I'm going to go do this, and the road is blocked, or the building is shut down, or they had a fire or something. But for the most part, you think it. I'm going to the store, and you do it. It happens. It appears. If you live in the now, you don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Jesus said that. There's enough concern for today to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. And if you take and you reduce your life down to its basics, and you reduce it down to the bare minimum, you'll see you don't really need a lot of stuff. You really don't need much at all. All that stuff is like yours. All the stuff that you have is like a jail cell. The stuff owns you. Instead of you owning the stuff owns you. The bigger the house, the bigger the jail. The more cars you got, the more jailhouse are you in. The bigger jailhouse you're in. If stuff owns you and you don't own stuff, we got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. And there's so many people working themselves to death for stuff, and the stuff owns them instead of them owning the stuff. I washed my clothes in a bucket for 10 years because I was so focused on decoding this reality that I didn't think about anything else, and it took me like 6 years to decode it. And I finally, after about 10 years, I said, let me go buy me one of them little small washing machines. And I did it. And it's such a blessing to have a washing machine or a dryer or whatever. It's a blessing. We know it. But at the same time, it can be a curse if you let it stress you. My washing machine broke. What am I going to do now? Get you a bucket, wash it, save up your money, or wait for one to go on sale. There's a lot of appliances at Home Depot on sale right now. God will make a way of escape. He always does. He will not put more on you than you can bear. He will make a way of escape. So here's another paradigm shift. If you start thinking the eternal thoughts as the steady state reality, then the temporal things won't bother you. The temporal things will just kind of fade away. You'll start to think outside of time, outside of the problems that show up, because they're really... The fourth thing would be, I'll go back to the third, but the fourth thing would be that every problem already had a solution. If somebody builds a car engine and they do all the tests and they get it to run right, and then somebody's car engine breaks, well, they know how to rebuild it, so the solution was already there before the problem appeared. It could be a flat tire. Somebody's got a spare tire in their trunk. They have a flat tire. The solution was there before the problem appeared. Every problem has a solution, and the solution was there before the problem appeared. You just have to look in the right place. Ask, seek, and knock. The solution was there before the problem appeared. And you know it's true, because go in your trunk and look at that spare tire. You don't look for the problem. When the problem happens, you don't look for the problem, you look for the solution. And you do it by faith. I know there's a solution. Yeah, there's a solution. Why? So we go back to number three. And so what happened to the eternal state? The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So God made a way of escape before he ever created this world. And so the archetype, overarching pattern, the archetype, eternal truth is God made a way of escape before the foundation of the world. So every problem that you face off, there was already a solution before it appeared. Because the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. If you really want to solve all mysteries, you go back to that. That is the whole Bible. The whole Bible is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so you're just going through a repeat, stupid repeat, until you wake up to that. You go to work, you go home. Oh no, there's a problem. Oh no. Go to work, everything's smooth, then something happens. All those cycles of work and home and eat and sleep and get up, and whatever cycle you're in, all those cycles are for what? To get you to look back at the cross. To look back at the cross. And then as you look back at the cross, everything is, you know everything. And I say this a lot to people, and they say, what do you mean you know everything? You know all things. You're going to judge angels. Listen, how can you know all things? Easy button. It's really easy. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. What happened at the cross? God made a way of escape. I don't care if it's eating, job, finding you something to drink, place to sleep. You know how to sleep. You know how to get up and walk. You know how to sit at a desk and work. You figured it out. And the way that you know all things is because you know when Jesus went to the cross, he paid for your sin to give you life and life more abundantly. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So you know he's going to take care of you. He's going to set you on the right path. He's going to give you the directions and the path and everything. It doesn't matter what city you're in, what country, what state, no matter where you are, what's happening over in other countries. Eat, sleep, work. Eat, sleep, work. Eat, sleep, work, shower. Eat, sleep, work, shower. You already know everything. Just wake up. You might say, well, can you go into detail more? Well, what's going to happen next year? Let's say, or they might say, what's going to happen in 6 months? What's happening now? The way you know all things, somebody says, what's happening in 6 months? What's happening right now? Well, what if there was a war or politics or a crash or whatever? Okay, so let's say there's a stock market crash. It goes back up. There's little crashes every day. And so what's going to happen? It's going to go back up. It will return. What if there's a war, okay? Let's say there's a war that breaks out. What are people doing during a war? They eat, they sleep, they find a shower place, they find some shelter. They eat, they sleep, they find some shelter. And they fight, the good fight. You're fighting a fight every day. You're fighting the fight of faith every day. You're fighting you're actually a politician in your own little circle. If you think about it, I don't care if it's a family, I don't care if it's a job, I don't care what it is, a church, I don't care what it is, you have to be a politician because you have to be that other party. That other party is a part of E. E is the spirit, the whole. So the other part to E is a part of E. I don't care if it's a family, job, whatever. Each member is a part of the whole. The letter E is spirit, and spirit is the whole. And so each party is a piece of the whole. Some of them are Wile E. Coyote, and some of them are Roadrunner. And so the parties, the part E's, the pieces, know what the other pieces are thinking. I'm going down the highway. How do I know what this car in front of me is thinking? How do I know if they're drunk? How do I know if they're confused? How do I know? Because I'm doing the same thing they're doing. I've already been in those situations where everything in front of me, I've already been in this situation. There's a transfer truck in front of me. There's a car in front of me. Seen it before. If God picked me up, moved me to China, what would I, if he just picked me up and teleported me to China, what would I do? First thing, I'd go find me, try to find me a job. Then I'd try to find a place to live, all that. No matter where you are, you're doing the same thing as everybody else, no matter where they are. You're eating, you're sleeping, you're taking a shower, trying to buy you some clothes and some shelter and organize your house and get a system in place and get some cash flow and money flow and get out of debt. You're playing the games, you pay your bills, you're playing the same game as everybody else. If you look out the window, you see a dog in the yard. Do you know what that dog's thinking? Yeah, looking for food, looking for attention. You think God's looking down and not knowing what you're thinking or what you're doing? He knows what you want. He knows what you want. He knows what you're thinking before you even think it. Before you even think your thought, God knows your thoughts. Ain't that something? You thought those thoughts were unique. You thought those thoughts were outside the view of some other creature. But nothing is hidden before God. Everything is revealed. And it's even revealed to humans, because out of the heart the mouth speaks. A person cannot speak without revealing their hearts. If you do a tit for tat long enough, somebody's going to slip up. If both people are telling the truth, there's not going to be a slip up. But if you do a tit for tat and somebody's lying, they're going to slip up. They're going to slip up eventually. You're going to catch them. That's why it's best when the police pulls you over, don't say nothing. Say as little as possible. Because you might slip up and say the wrong thing, and you were doing everything right, but they misinterpret what you said, or you said it wrong, and they try to give you a ticket, put you in jail or something. It's really wild stuff, people. Deja vu is real because it's always happening every moment of every day. The lamb, if you get a hold of what I'm telling you, no matter where you look, it's the lamb slain. The sacrificial redemptive system. The car that I'm driving, it's sacrificing some gasoline to have power. To study and learn a new topic, you sacrifice to learn that new topic. To pay your bills, you sacrifice your time to get some money to pay your bill. Everything that you do requires sacrifice. To build a relationship, both people are going to have to sacrifice. To build a business, they're going to have people sacrifice. If you don't have sacrifice, you don't have anything. Because the overarching pattern is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. If there's not a sacrifice, there's no victory. Let me say it again. This might be the title. No sacrifice, no victory. Period. Not a maybe, not if, not but, not anything. And I know it's the truth. I don't even need to look at everything, because I already know the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and He rose again. There's the victory. So your life is a pattern after that. I don't care if it's the food you eat. I don't care if it's the work you do. I don't care if it's the relationship. If there's not a sacrifice, there's no victory. And it's going to take both parties to sacrifice, or three parties, or however many parties are in the business, or whatever. If there's no sacrifice, there's no win. You know, I've worked around people that they want everybody else to sacrifice, but they're not going to sacrifice. And if the leadership doesn't have a servant leadership mindset, they're not going to make it either. The leader's going to have to sacrifice. The people underneath are going to have to sacrifice. And the people under them are going to have to sacrifice. It's always sacrifice of some kind. If you want something to work, you're going to have to sacrifice something. It's impossible to make it work without sacrifice. This is so important. This is the overarching pattern of this reality. You go to work, you punch the clock, and sacrifice your presence and your blood, sweat, and tears on that job to get a paycheck. You travel, your car sacrifices its the rubber on the tire, it sacrifices the gas in the engine. There's always sacrifice, everything that you do. Your time. If you want to learn somebody and know somebody, you got to pick up the phone and call them and sacrifice time to talk to them. Or they got to sacrifice time to talk to you. And it's got to be a two-way conversation, because if it's not, then the one of you is not needed. If it's somebody who's always talking and not listening, you don't need the other person. They don't need you. If they're always talking and never listen, they don't need you. So you just say, look, you don't need me because you're doing all the talking, and I'll catch you later. Call me back when you need me. I'll let you talk to yourself, because you don't need me, because it's a two-way conversation. Otherwise, you don't need me. Call me back later. That's going to make them mad, but they need to be made mad. They need to wake up that there's more to reality than just them. There's other people out here that exist in this reality that face off with them to build them up. If you don't have a face-off partner of some kind, work, marriage, friend, family, if you don't have somebody to face off with you who's going to tell you the truth, you're not going to grow. Yeah, they need to do it gracefully. Sometimes they just tell it to their face. Sometimes you have to tell people, say, let me give you a hug. I got something to tell you. I'm going to give you a hug before I tell you what I'm going to tell you. It's not your place to fix people, but sometimes if you care about somebody enough, you're going to tell them, hey, you're going down the wrong path. Think about it this way. Or you say, what were you thinking when you did that? I wasn't thinking. All right, so start thinking. What were you thinking when you did that? I wasn't thinking. All right, start thinking then. Start using your brain that God gave you. You're not a brute, beast, animal. You got a brain. You're not the Jerry Springer Show. You got a brain. And I wouldn't be surprised if that whole thing's made up. Looks like it is. The Jerry Springer Show is probably no different than the wrestling shows and the monster trucks shows. People actually go to the monster truck shows, really? All that noise and all that, really go there to see somebody jump a car? Really? Is that a thing? Is that even a thing? And if it is, what kind of world are we in? some people are so asleep and not awake. They're not awake and they're so asleep that if you took a 2x4 and hit them over the head, they still couldn't hear you. I mean, here's another paradigm shift. I want to talk about this. When you look at somebody face to face, you're looking at a different version of yourself. And this should be very easy to understand. Oh, this is new age. No, it's not. No, it's not. Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. So when you look at a brother or sister, or two brothers, or whatever, you're looking at a different version. Sometimes there's twins, right? They come out at the same time. They look alike, but they're different. They're different versions of the same. That's why they look the same. And so when you look at another human being, they have a head, they have a body, they have two arms, they have two legs. You're looking at another version of yourself. Somebody who made a different choice in life, a different decision or a different choice. They eat, they sleep. They become a teenager. They become an adult. They grow old. They die. What do you do? Same thing. It's a different version. The path you took, you just go to work, you eat, you sleep. You do the same thing they do. What does that mean? They took a different path, but they're just a different version of you. Whether they receive Jesus or not, that's on them. But when you look at them, they got teeth, they got eyes, they got a body. You're looking at yourself. When you wake up to the fact that you're looking at yourself, you've got your paradigm has to change, and you no longer hate your enemy. You no longer hate people. You know that they're just ignorant and they haven't moved to the next level like you have. That's all. There's so many paradigm shifts. If you get a hold of half of them, 10 of them, I mean, if you get a hold of 10 paradigm shifts, your whole world view is going to change and your whole life is going to change.